This is CliffCentral.com.
We've got Justice here. It's time for us to get into the burning platform. We'll pick it up with some more news on the other side. Good morning. It's Friday. This is nice. This is nice for a Friday, Justice. I like it when you come in on a Friday. It makes it feel like you've got a bonus day in the week.
I love it. I don't know if talking about a burning Tshwane.
Yeah, no. Well,
is
let's
exactly
keep it
the right way to start the weekend.
Right. Let's start with a burning platform. We'll worry about the burning Tshwane after that.
Burning platform fired up by Nando's on CliffCentral.com.
That's right. Every week we get to check in with Justice Malala, the author of a hot bestseller book, which is still available on the shelves right now. It is, right?
It still,
is. Selling like hotcakes.
I love it.
It's called We Have Now Begun Our Descent, and it is available in good bookstores everywhere and on Amazon, and you can get it on Kindle too. Yeah. So, Justice, our hometown.
Ah, man.
You come from Hammanskraal. I come from Pretoria. We both know Atteridgeville. We know Mamelodi. We know Soshanguve. We know Harankua. Who is behind all of this? Is it just what we've heard in the press? Is it what we've heard from the security minister, David Mahlobo, that actually this is just the ANC and it's internecine fighting?
He's absolutely right, but if he knows that, why isn't he arresting the ANC people who instigated it, who basically unleashed the carnage that we saw this week? That, for me, is a big question. It seems as if the state security minister knows a lot of stuff.
Remember, he knew who was behind Vuwani's schools.
Exactly.
He knew who was causing trouble in, what was it, Gidani? He knows what's happening in Pretoria. He knows who the people are, but he doesn't seem to be able to act on that.
And so, for me, I'll tell you this. I made a couple of phone calls on Monday. I was in Cape Town on that day. So, within a few phone calls, I had I had the beginnings of an idea of what was going on and who was responsible. Because remember what happened this past weekend? The ANC had its NEC. Late, very late on Saturday evening, at about 11, the ANC announces that these are the lists we have, but we couldn't come to a decision on Pretoria. So we go in there on Sunday to speak to branch leaders and branch secretaries. At the Tshwane event center outside, there's groupings of people, many of them not branch leaders, but hangers on and so forth and so forth. Fighting breaks out, someone gets shot and killed and so forth and so forth. It becomes clear that the two main factions, one built around the mayor, one built around his deputy in the ANC, are essentially fighting for battle, and the ANC at the top level says, you know what, we're going to be Solomon, we're going to cut this thing in half, so instead of giving either of you the position, we're going to bring in Togo Didiza, which, you know, if you've got a problem, that might be one way of solving it. It's not a bad way of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the things under Sputle Ramokopa in Tshwane was that if you go to Tshwane and many other parts of South Africa, the Department of Public Works had started a public works program where if you're unemployed, you could join basically a group of people employed by the government to go around cleaning up the streets.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd see them walking around with a little fork, long fork, and then
not a bad employment thing. For, you know, sort of agency.
Not bad at all. 80 rand a day, and that's what you do. You
right.
clean up the streets, you become. So then, in Tshwane, this public works program had been absorbed into the municipality. There were many, many people across Tshwane. Now, remember that Tshwane is the second biggest municipality, I think, in the world.
Yeah.
So thousands of people are employed in this program. They receive SMSs on Monday saying, well, if Sputla Ramokopa goes, the free Wi-Fi in Tshwane is going to go. Now, that free Wi-Fi has nothing to do with just Spootler. It's got something to do with the municipality one. It's got something to do with Alan Notcraig Jr., mm-hmm. who worked with Ramakgopa and right. others to bring it together. It's not going to go away.
And he can't switch it off.
He can't switch
it
off.
He hasn't got a big red switch in his office that he can press.
Oops, I'm going. Bye. No. Boom. No. So all these guys get an SMS saying, cause as much havoc as you can, because this is what's going to happen if Ramakgopa goes. This is machinated by people who allegedly met at a hotel in Pretoria and sent out a message saying, let's do this thing. Mm-hmm. Why isn't the state intelligence minister, why, guys, I don't know, does the intelligence ministry, surely we have our own James Bond, right?
Like, no.
We don't?
Even David Matlobo looks like he couldn't move fast.
So, I'm sorry, but we generally sometimes complain that I think I'm being followed and stuff. Who's our James Bond? Where's our guy?
Because well, all this proves is that even if they are following you, they can't do anything.
Or they won't. They might they won't do anything.
They know who you are, but they can't do anything about it.
So, on Monday, many, many people already knew that this is what is happening. Mm. If you go to Pretoria, among ANC activists, branch leaders, everyone knows that, okay, this thing starts with what is called Operation Fat Alles. That's Operation Take All for non-African speaking.
They gave it a name and everything. Okay,
now,
all right.
Operation Fat Alles is who's responsible behind this thing. So why is it that our James Bond hasn't said, okay, guys, the bad guys are 1, 2, 3, 4. You can find them at place X, A, B, Z, and arrested them and stopped this thing.
Because they're criminals. They're looting shops. They're blocking highways. They, you know?
But then they should be arrested right. so that stopped. So it starts with that political play, moves on into now, you know, there's kids who are on Nyaope and they think, man, I'm going to loot that shop and so forth. So if you go to Mamelodi yesterday, if you go to Atteridgeville yesterday, foreign-owned shops, for example, have all been looted, all of them. The police are standing by and watching.
By the way, what we mean by foreign-owned shops is we mean Somalians, Malawians, Zimbabweans, Zambians.
Fellow Africans.
Little spaza shops.
But
I mean, these are not like your chain stores that are insured.
No.
Or that have that can go and make a claim and they can have a huge corporate backing. And these are little stores, little family-owned businesses.
But people need to stop and say, you know what? You and I might sit here and talk about this stuff. But if you live in Atteridgeville, so since Monday, the bakery trucks have not been able to go into Atteridgeville because they're scared their trucks will be targeted, as many have been, and will be burned down. And that's you know,
and there are only two entrances in and out of Atteridgeville, exactly. As Solim Simanga said to us the other day, because the apartheid government wanted to control access.
Yeah, yeah. No, and Mamelodi pretty much the same thing. Mm-hmm. So the key thing about those townships is that if you live there, you can't have breakfast with a piece of bread this morning, because the spaza shop has been looted and has been emptied out, and the bakery trucks are not coming in. So you have to either walk out of Mamelodi or out of Atteridgeville.
In the cold. In the dark.
Hope that there's a taxi to take you to nearby Silverton or whatever. Buy bread, come back home, and cook. So the conveniences of your township, of your suburb, have been, boom, taken out. These are the consequences of what started being unleashed on that Sunday evening, Monday, and now became looting, thuggery, that the ANC can't stop, that the government can't seem to be able to stop, because we seem to think that it's over. In Mabopane, Central City Shopping Center has been absolutely gutted. I spoke to a cousin of mine last night who lives near there. It's like it's a war zone, he said. He said, smoke in the air, sirens, cops, da-da-da. This is... what's going on here? The whole of Mabopane Station, which is a major hub, has come to a halt.
So who are we going to hold responsible here? If we know who the people are, according to this minister, and if we know that they're ANC people, I mean, what should...
What should
law enforcement do, and what should the voting public do come August the 3rd?
There are two clear perpetrators of this thing. First, the ANC. This you haven't heard anyone say the people of Tshwane. The people of Tshwane are peaceful. They are sitting there totally. In their homes. A battle inside the ANC, a battle to protect resources, to make sure that the guy in whose regime I have flourished doesn't leave, or the guy who in hopefully in his regime I'll flourish comes in. That battle, it's an ANC battle. It's got nothing to do with the people of Tshwane. The people of Tshwane are not rioting because they don't want the DA to come in or the EFF to come in. This is ANC people who went against ANC people and unleashed this monster that we're sitting with now. So where is the ANC right now? The ANC has not shown leadership, hasn't come to the party and said, you know what, this, our own people have to stop. We will expose those within our ranks who have been doing this and so forth. In fact, the only person I've seen say those words is Hossein Tsoramokgopa himself when he was in Atteridgeville on Monday. Everyone else, they've taken to the heels. You have to ask yourself, where is the president of the country in all this?
Does he really care at all about this? Is he interested in ordinary people in the township who don't have bread this morning?
Well, I don't know if he is, but he's certainly not there. And so that's the first failure. And I think that is an indication of lack of leadership on this issue by the ANC. I think the ANC has behaved very badly around this issue and has not really... It hasn't held its own leaders. Hossein Tsoramokgopa, Sputli Ramokgopa, the mayor of Tshwane, is the regional chair of the ANC in Tshwane. Mapiti Matsena, his deputy in the ANC, is the other person who was on the list who people claim they represent. They have not called in those two and said, not in our names. You're going to call off your supporters and say to them, this stops now. You haven't seen that. The second failure is law enforcement from David Mahlobo.
Just hang on the first issue. Should people, when they go to the polls, punish the ANC for this?
Well, I think they should be punished. I think the ANC, if this is the way things are inside the ANC...
Because then it'll make this whole thing moot, because you'll have a candidate who's not going to win anyway. So even if either side had their way, it would be a nothing. Well, hollow victory.
Yeah. You know, for me, it's... Well, if the ANC can organize itself internally, what happens when it's running the municipality? Are these the kind of divisions that are going to continue?
The Tshwane municipality is bankrupt, right?
The Tshwane municipality's finances are in terrible shape. You'll know in Tshwane, there's a joke that goes around that you have to do work for Tshwane municipality as soon as possible in the financial year. Because what month are we? June. They probably ran out of money in February. That's been the tradition all along. And so between February and June, if you do work for Tshwane as a contractor, as a tender, if you've won a tender and so forth, you don't get paid. You wait for the new financial year. So for 4 months, you're sitting there twiddling your thumbs waiting for your check.
That's crazy.
Because they ran out of the money so quickly. There are many, many instances of all kinds of shenanigans in that municipality.
And then to bring you back, you said that law enforcement is the second major failing.
Mm. No, it's a major failing in my view, because I don't think it takes rocket science to identify the people behind this carnage. It's not just the people. There's a lot of young guys who took advantage, who looted and so forth. They must be arrested. They must be brought before the law. But I am haunted by the images we've seen of cops carrying millimeter. I've seen at least three of those pictures. I'm haunted by pictures of cops just standing around and not doing anything. I'm haunted by images of cops in Mabopane yesterday and Soshanguve basically waiting for people to go into those shopping centers, loot, and then they take them, and I'm told they put all that stuff in their cars and take it themselves. So I think there's a failure of law enforcement, there's a failure of investigation. And I think, you know, what is David Mashaba doing speaking to the people of Mamelodi yesterday? He should be sitting there telling his intelligence agents, saying, identify, find, arrest, find the evidence for all these things that have happened. What was he doing? James Bond was in Mabopane. What was he doing? He needs to be there investigating. His agents need to have fanned across the country.
I mean, we're paying for this whole department. What are they doing for us?
I don't know.
Seem to be able to figure out, and they supposedly know already who it is. They don't seem supposed to have any way
of
to figure out a problem.
Evidence.
Yeah,
this is a problem for me.
So who are these people? I mean, why are we paying for them?
He says we anticipated all this. Well, if you anticipated
Do something about it.
You know, I mean, you can, in this country, you can say Justice and Gareth are planning da-da-da-da-da-da. So, you know, if you've got the evidence that they are planning something, you can arrest them for that you're planning to bomb this. Why isn't it happening? It's not happening. At the moment, we are told that 160 people have been arrested. Where are the masterminds? Who are the people who sent out messages, SMSs?
Who are the people at that hotel?
Exactly. The Pretoria News reported even the name of the hotel, the Court Classique Hotel.
Yeah.
Gotta love it. Might even visit it myself. But, you know, I mean, you know all these things. You know that SMSs were sent out from that hotel. Surely, if the minister has made us all Rika our phones, either he tells us that, is it Rika? Yes. Yeah. Either the Rika doesn't work, or he must tell us whose phone started those messages.
Or he doesn't know how to use it. I mean, maybe he just doesn't.
But then what is the Ministry of Intelligence for?
Well,
what is the NIA for? The SA Secret Service for? I mean, we pay millions, billions for this secret world that clearly doesn't know what it's doing. I mean, these guys cannot seem to arrest anyone or find the evidence to give to prosecutors to arrest these guys.
Let's talk about one or two other things that are going on. Sesikhona's poo protester. You remember Loyisa Nkohla?
What's happened? I just wanted to talk about that because it's.
Remind us who he is.
Loyisa Nkohla, you'll remember a couple of years ago, we suddenly saw a new form of protest in South Africa where. Where the brown stuff would literally hit the fan, as it were. These guys were quite something. Sometimes that in Gugule too, in Khayelitsha and other parts of the Western Cape, there were areas where there were no toilets for communities. And what happened was that the city of Cape Town would provide potaloos.
Right.
So the communities and Sesikhona was specifically formed to fight against it, saying we want proper sanitation, which is a fair, legitimate demand that people should have the dignity of a toilet in their homes. And in this case, they were communal. And so you'd have to come out of your house, walk out onto the street, go to the communal loo and help yourself. And so this organization started agitating against that. One of their tactics was to take the poo in the potaloo and get on a train with it, okay? Yeah. And get on the train and go into the city of Cape Town, go to the legislature or the city council offices and just pour the poo. in front of it.
That's right.
I remember him now.
Yeah.
And so once again, we were innovative in South Africa. We basically invented a new way of protest. But the thing was about Loyisa Nkohla was that he was a keen, very keen ANC member. There's a lovely picture tweeted by Butimana Mela, which shows Loyisa Nkohla wearing a T-shirt saying, DA equates to racism, I think it says. And basically his two bête noires were Patricia de Lille all the time going after her, that's the mayor of Cape Town, accusing her of racism, of this and that and so forth, and going after Helen Zille and calling her all kinds of names, you know, if the ANC in the Western Cape is a dead or dying party, Loyiso Nkohla was a far more painful thorn in the side of the ANC there than the DA than the ANC was. So this guy went on and on and on. So my question now is that how did this guy go from being so anti-DA to yesterday with 500 of his supporters, boom, boom, there they are in the blue T-shirt.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And say,
can I tell you how? He didn't get on the list.
He didn't get on the list. You got it right first time. He didn't get on the ANC list. And so suddenly in South African politics, you start to see that...
You see who these career politicians and opportunists are. You see who these people are who value themselves above everything else to do with the job.
He didn't get on the ANC list.
And I mean,
how
do your principles shift from this is the party of racists and this is the party we need to empty poo onto, to being... Ah, these are my people. And if the ANC accept him, then they're idiots. I mean, the DA accept him, they're idiots too.
The DA has accepted everyone. Oh, they've Jesus. Said that, oh no, you've got some problems you need to sort out. We accept you, but we won't put you on our list for now. The DA has a long history of being two-faced about these things.
Yeah, you remember with King Galin Diabo.
Exactly, there you go. So, you know, the less said, the better. Loyiso Nkohla is quite an... he's quite an unpleasant political player. He's rude and he's all kinds of.
Aren't
other
they all?
No, but he's a particular
kind.
Some
of my best friends are politicians. but he can be quite nasty, and I'm amazed that this is how it's turned out. But as you say, Gareth, you're absolutely right. He didn't get on the list, and it was, oops, what am I going to do now? That's the DA. Let me go there quickly. And so there you have it. Sad.
Yeah, he's just tweeted a picture also of saying, if you intend, this is Butimana Mela now,
yes.
Who's been tweeting all the time about this guy. If you intend migrating, watch your tongue when it comes to foreign policy. You don't know where your future home is.
It's a gorgeous, but what's on the T-shirt, the white T-shirt?
DA stands for racism. And then in the next picture, he's wearing a DA shirt. I mean, look, the guy who should be shouted down here is him.
Yeah.
Anyone who has such flexible principles clearly is not worth standing for.
Oh, come on. Flexibility is a good thing, I think.
If you learn new information and it improves you as a human being, I don't think that's his motivation. All right, how about this? This is something that we hear about a lot from the EFF in particular, that there are no-go zones for certain parties, that certain parties are not allowed into certain places.
Yeah. You know, I've spoken out about the police actions during this 20 protest, and I think it's worth saying in South Africa, what happened to Julius Malema and the EFF when they went to Setoka Hostel in Tembisa. What happened there was that two EFF members were killed. The EFF wanted to go and console the family members and also to go to the area where they were allegedly killed. Julius Malema, Mbuyiseni Ndlozi, and other EFF members and leaders started going to the hostel. The police said, no, don't go there. A mob had formed at the hostel saying, Asinfuni la, don't go away. We don't want you. You're not allowed here. And a scuffle broke out. Journalists were beaten up. Julius Malema was thrown. Stones were thrown. All kinds of things happened. The police, instead of standing up for Julius Malema's right and my right and your right and everyone's right to organize wherever in South Africa, in this fine land, to organize wherever you want to organize, said, no, 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 you must leave. When the stones were being thrown at Julius Malema, they fled. Only three Metro cops stayed with Julius Malema and Mbuyiseni Ndlozi and the others. For me, there is something insidious going on with our police services. And it is that they are not there doing their jobs, upholding the law. They are ready almost at every turn to allow thugs, to allow anti-democrats to essentially say, no, I'm going to rule by force. And
but they seem, Justice, they seem only too quick to act if the politicians tell them what to do. Well, if their own patronage network tells them what to do. So if you're in Marikana and you're told to shoot down innocent people, that's okay. If you want to shoot down a protester, that's okay.
That's okay. And
but you're not there to do your actual job of protecting the people. The people of this country.
Exactly. So, I mean, I have...
Andries Tatane is one thing, but don't protect Julius Malema.
And what does it mean if Julius Malema... I don't hold a card for Julius Malema, but let me tell you, if Julius Malema can go into Setoka Hostel, what happens when Mangosuthu Buthelezi wants to go into Setoka Hostel? Is he also going to be barred? I want him to be able to go into Setoka Hostel and say, I'm here, I'm the IFP, I want you to vote for me. Same thing with Musiwa Lekota. Same thing for the others. We cannot have these things. And the police and the Tembisa police seem to have just said, we told you not to
out
go
of our there. Hands.
Out of our hands. So we have a police service, same thing with the Tony Protests, who seem to stand by and watch as stuff happens in this country. And I think... if we don't talk about it, and I think the EFF is absolutely right to point out and underline this thing. One day it will be the ANC itself. The ANC used to be barred from going into the townships in Togoza, for example, in Tembisa. The IFP used to control those hostels. I remember Shayazafe Hostel. Which is, I must say, the name itself says something. Mshaya Zafe means hit him till he dies. But Mshaya Zafe Hostel was just shut down to any other political party except the IFP. All those things are supposed to have changed 20 years later. But if Julius Malema can go into such a hostel, then we have a problem. The principle must be no-go areas, and it must be upheld and enforced by the police, and if that doesn't happen, then we have a problem. So, I think I'd like to see the Minister of Police actually activist on these things. I'd like to see him. Where exactly is the Minister of Police this week in South Africa? I got a call from a guy in Brazil saying, "What's happening to your country? Is it war? Your capital city seems to be under siege." I didn't know what to tell the guy. Whereas I should have told him, well, the police minister is on top of the job. The president is on top of the job. No. But no, I couldn't. I didn't know where they are. We only had James Bond, David Maslow. Well, what's that brought me? do we want to talk about...
Just one last thing I want to talk about, the Guptas. Because they've been in the news a lot lately. They're not even in the country, but now they want, because none of the banks will work with them.
Yeah.
Now they want to open their own bank.
Yes.
The Gupta Bank. Are they going to be the only client of the Gupta Bank? Them and Duduzane.
Independent newspapers reported that that they're trying to buy UBank, the NUM's shares in UBank. And UBank is a bank that comes from, intricately linked to the mining industry. That's how workers used to be paid through UBank, right, and so forth. The NUM has said, no way are we doing this, by the way. But I just wanted to talk about gumption. Isn't that a lovely word?
It's a great word.
Gumption.
What gumption these what people gumption? Have. These Guptas are so...
chutzpah.
I was just sitting here thinking, I will give it to them. They absolutely, positively do not care what you think.
Yeah.
They are carrying on and it's business as usual. They don't care.
The average person in this country would tie them up like Mussolini and his mistress upside down and let them bleed to death. But they're not afraid to keep on pillaging.
No. I mean... You know, I want...
Don't notice us. We're just stealing everything that's valuable.
No, I'm... You know, actually, I've turned. I think now I'm a fan of the Gupta family. I want to do something for South Africans. I want us all, every South African, all 54 million of us, okay? I want everyone to go line up in Sachsenwald and go through entrance one, get whatever they're drinking in that household, get a sip.
Have some. Do you know what successful people... Yeah. Be.
Oof. I tell you, every South African who comes out of the other door will be saying, I'm buying a bank. Just give me some of that chutzpah. You know, whatever you might say, these guys don't stop. It's amazing. It's just fantastic. Oh, man.
All right, Justice. Well, thank you very much.
Absolute pleasure. Can I talk about one thing that's close to my heart?
Of course you can.
When I walked in, you guys were talking about Brexit, about the Brits basically saying they live in the EU. I mean, guys, basically they're saying we're just going to become a little tribe in Europe, and the French can go their way and the Germans can go their way, and they're going to stay on their own. I think it's big.
It's a step backwards in some ways. I mean, look, at the same time, this is the problem with democracy. When you let people decide, sometimes they don't make the right decision. And sometimes they make the right decision for them. And they don't think about the consequences for everyone else. Mm. The world is becoming increasingly globalized. You can't lager yourself in, right?
And I think this
you can't make little
Oranias.
Well, it has and it hasn't, because they're still going to... No, this isn't going to mean there's a sudden wall up between Britain and Europe. They're going to carry on trading with each other. Everything will remain the same. They just don't want the refugees. That's what it comes down to.
They've got to take... This is the problem, though, because this race was run on that basis. Well, the Leave campaign ran it on the basis of, oh, the refugees are coming, the brown people are coming, the white people are coming too. Oh, no, they're taking our jobs. Oh, and this and this and this. And I think it's very sad. It would be interesting, actually, Gareth, to speak to Ryan Coutier, who ran the campaign for Remain, who used to run the DA's election campaigns here.
He's probably out of a job right now, he'll be willing to talk.
It would be interesting to find out for him where he thinks things went wrong, because when I was in London last week, it was quite fraught, quite fractious. The debate was intensely personal, it was, you'd think there was a war looming in the UK if you'd read either the Daily Mail or...
But don't you think this is also justice as a result of the fact that we don't have such big issues in the world anymore? You know, there used to be big issues. This is not really the biggest issue in the world, but because it's there, we get as animated as we would have if we were going to war.
Well, I think for Europe and for the US, if you look at the quality of leadership in Europe, I feel like the way that Brits used to talk about us Africans, isn't this delicious that we're sitting here talking about them as little tribal leaders?
It's true, though.
Anyway, if you look at Russia and Vladimir Putin and ask yourself, well, is the world safe with a macho, shoot them down kind of leader like that? You look at some of the things that have happened in the former Yugoslavia and those territories. You look at Syria. You look at the fact that Turkey has Erdogan, and he is trigger happy and doesn't think democracy is such a good idea. I think the idea of democracy might be on a warning. I think the idea of a Europe that is led by enlightened ideas might be in the spotlight. I'm worried about the rise of parties like the AfDB in Germany, which
and the
is
Le Pens in France.
Marine Le Pen in France, many others. I think the Brexit decision is going to lead to Switzerland saying, enough, we are getting out too. And for me, the exit of the British from the EU is the departure of I think middle of the road liberal values in Europe. I think your right wingers are going to begin to rise again. And I think that could be, for the world, I think it's a backward step.
It's also, obviously, this is a positive indication for people like Donald Trump in America.
Yeah.
And it may be a warning to us, those of us who still think that Donald Trump is an outsider with no chance in hell.
I think this gives him a chance.
This absolutely makes it not only possible, but probable.
Yeah.
That people are so anti-establishment at the moment. People are so anti the entrenched politicians. You know, David Cameron, you know, there's an established family of politicians, his wife's family. It's just more of the same. Yeah. Hillary Clinton, dynasticism. Mm. Here she is, the former first lady. We had Bush after that. We had the Bush before that. It's basically two families, with the exception of Obama. And I think people are just sick of establishment.
And I mean, that I absolutely agree with you about the rise of Donald Trump and what that may mean for the American elections. This decision may mean for the American elections. But it will also be interesting to see what kind of world we're fashioning when you have Putin on the one end and Donald Trump on the other.
Well, they're the same, aren't they?
Pretty much the same. And yeah. I think that sets the world on a very uncertain footing in many ways. But people's heartfulness, if you will, with established traditional politics just means that this is what we are set for.
So brace yourselves.
Tighten your seatbelts.
Right. We've now begun our descent.
Oh, no. We're just hitting some turbulence. It's okay.
Just a little bit of turbulence.
It's okay.
In the meantime, people of Tswane, we care about you. Look after yourselves. Please be careful. Justice and I both obviously have a vested interest in people in Tswane being safe and secure. So please, we both send lots of love.
Cheers, man.
Thank you, Justice.
Thanks so much.
Burning Platform, fired up by Nando's on cliffcentral.com.